Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pastyachadesh Tarne Sri Krishna Chaitanya Pramanityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shivas Adi Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vanchakavatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Paditanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Sri Brihad Bhagavatamrita Ki Jai, Srila Swanathan Goswami Ki Jai, Gaur Premanande. Okay, so we are in the second section of the book, of the chapter, which is basically that Lord Brahma, maybe Lord Brahma, is the greatest recipient of the Lord's mercy. Who knows? But Narada Muni, he certainly thinks he could be. And we're in the section, we have started the second subsection of it, subdivision, which goes from verse 44 to verse 53. And last night, we read the first two verses. We read the first two verses. Forty-four and forty-five, that's right, we read. Yeah, and this is what's happening. Narada Muni is going to glorify Lord Brahma. First of all, so we read, well, let me just read 44 and 45 again. As Brahma sat comfortably on his universal throne, absorbed in hearing and reciting the glories of his Lord, tears flowed from his eight eyes. Surrounding Lord Brahma in attendance were the personified powers of universal rulership. Narada came close, offered respects to his father by falling to the ground like a stick, and then spoke. So that's exactly where we left off last night. So let's move on now, verse 46. And this is all now the next several verses or so. Narada Muni is glorifying Lord Brahma and trying to make the point that Lord Brahma has received more mercy from the Lord than anyone else. So Sri Narada said, "It is you who have truly received the mercy of Lord Hari. After all, you are the master of all masters of the living beings of the universe, the grandfather of all the worlds." Well, that's, you know, there's truth in that. Lord Brahma is the master of all the masters. One thing that was said about Lord Indra was that he was the master. But, you know, and there's some truth in it. But Lord Brahma is the master of all the masters. It's intense. Right, and he's the grandfather of all the worlds. 47. You alone create, maintain, and devour the 14 worlds. You forever rule the universe, and you are known as the self-born. So the glorification started with verse 46. That was 47. And it's going to go on till 52. So here, at least in 47, Narada Muni distinguishes Lord Brahma from Lord Indra. Of course, the king from South India had said that Lord Indra rules for a long time, so much longer than the human beings, which is true. How many is it? Some 60-something or 70-something cycles of the four yugas. Yeah. But that's just 1/13th of the length of a day, of one day of Brahma. Hari Bol. So therefore here in this verse 47, Narada Muni makes the point, or tries to make the point, that you forever rule the universe. In other words, it's a much, really a much longer time than Lord Indra rules his heavenly abode. Yes. And, you know, there are all the many different types of annihilations, partial annihilations, and so on. Lord Brahma goes through them all, no problem. Lord Indra and company, they don't make it. Verse 48. Present in person in your assembly are the Vedas, Puranas, and other scriptures, the revealers of truth, who were born from your four mouths. So, yeah. So the Vedas, Puranas, you know, these genuine Vedic scriptures, they're eternal, but they come and go. They come and go. You know, during the night of Lord Brahma, they are not there. Excuse me. During the night of Lord Brahma, they are not there. But during the day they are there, the day of Lord Brahma, except that sometimes they become at least partially lost, and maybe sometimes completely. Yeah. Even now, many parts of many of the different Vedic scriptures are missing. Many. Yeah. So anyway, at the beginning of Brahma's day, they do appear. There are four Vedas, and one Veda appears from each of his four mouths. So he's not exactly the author, because these are eternal, but they manifest through him. Yeah. And therefore, because they manifest through him at the beginning of his day, therefore he's known as Adi Kavi, means the first authority, not the source necessarily, but the first authority on the Vedic literatures. So now, verse 49, your world can be attained only by saintly persons who faultlessly perform their prescribed social duties, free from pride and other vices, for 100 lifetimes. Hare Krishna. That's quite something, isn't it? 100 lifetimes to maintain all the regulative principles perfectly. And not just the regulative principles, but other principles too. So, yeah, the thing is, Lord Brahma is a very exalted person. His planet is glorious. And saintly people who perform their prescribed duties for 100 lifetimes without making any mistakes and without falling victim to pride, deceit, and other causes of deviation, they become eligible for birth on Brahma Loka. So, not just Brahma Loka. Here, our devotees quote Srimad Bhagavatam 4.24.29. It's Lord Shiva speaking. A person who executes his occupational duty properly for 100 births becomes qualified to occupy the post of Brahma. Yeah. So, and Srila Prabhupada, in the ninth canto and one purport, Prabhupada does say that every living entity, when they first enter this material world, their first birth is as a Lord Brahma. So we have all been Lord Brahmas. We have all been Lord Brahmas before. But even though we're in such a high position and so much facility, but somehow we made some serious mistakes and we fell down. And now here we are just in the material world, although of course we're very fortunate that now we've got the opportunity, we've received the opportunity for becoming Krishna conscious. So let's keep working at it and not just go to Lord Brahma's planet or even become a Lord Brahma, but let's go back to Godhead. So, you know, frankly, it sounds easier to go back to Godhead than to get a birth on Lord Brahma's planet. Prabhupada did say on many occasions, just chant 16 rounds, follow the regulative principles, do your service, and you can go back to Godhead at the end of this life. You don't have to do everything perfectly with no pride or any of these other bad qualities. For 100 lifetimes without fail, then you may go to the planet of Brahma. It's easier just to go back to Godhead, so let's do that. And, well, Lord Shiva made that point, as we read from Bhagavatam 4.24.29, that if you do your occupational duties properly for 100 births, you can occupy the post of Brahma. Well, Sanatana Goswami makes the point that the position of Brahma earned by pious workers normally consists in being an associate of Brahma, receiving a universe of one's own to rule as Brahma is much more rare. So verse 15. Within the universe there is no higher world than yours. Even Lord Narayan's Vaikuntha planet is found inside your world. Well, that's true. the pole star, Dhruvaloka, Sweta Dweep. These are different abodes of the Supreme Lord in different forms. And they're all within Lord Brahma's world. 51. On Brahmaloka, Lord Narayan resides always in his manifest form as the lotus-naveled Mahapurusha. You remember, there was quite a bit of talk about Mahapurusha last night. He eats his shares of sacrifice and grants the sacrificial results. Sri Giri Govardhan Ki Jai. And 52. And 53, basically. 52 and 53. Are the last verses of Narada proclaiming the... what he feels is the fact that Lord Brahma is the greatest recipient of the mercy of Lord Krishna. So 52. Although in the distant past you made many attempts and were unable to find him, after performing austerities, you finally saw him just for a moment in your heart. So there's a little purport here, and it makes the point that the Lord, from whom Brahma was born, the Lord is extremely difficult to find. And so the fact that Lord Brahma found him and met him, and as the Bhagavatam says, Lord Krishna walked up to Lord Brahma and shook his hand. So Brahma found the Lord. But finding the Lord, seeing the Lord in person, is so extremely rare that the fact that Lord Brahma did find him and did see him, Narada Muni is saying, this is proof you got the extra special mercy of the Lord. Yeah. And, you know, that's not a bad point. That's a good point. So Brahma, you know, it wasn't easy for Brahma. I think we basically know the story. He appeared on top of the lotus, and then he went searching for the Lord. And only after some time did he actually see the Lord. He entered the stem. He went down the stem. And he went right down to the Gabardak Ocean. But he couldn't find anything. And then the Lord gave him mercy by saying, Tapa, Tapa, do austerity. So Lord Brahma obeyed that instruction. And sure enough, after long meditation and great effort doing that tapasya, he received just a short vision of the Lord. He saw the Lord, but not for a long time. This is described, of course, in the second and third cantos of Bhagavatam. All the Lord did was speak a few verses. That's all the Lord did. Mainly the four seed verses, Chatushloki Bhagavatam, the four seed verses of the Bhagavatam. So he wasn't there for like days or weeks or months or years. He was just there for some minutes or something like that. And verse 53, which is bringing this part of the discussion to an end, Narada Muni concludes by saying, therefore, you are surely the dearmost devotee of Lord Krishna. Indeed, you are none other than Krishna himself, appearing in various bodies for your pastimes. So, you know, of course, Narada, in a sense, he's got a bit carried away here, that you are none other than Krishna himself. Because we just saw the Mahapurusha, who is directly the Supreme Lord, just a matter of some minutes or not long before at all. So, you know, maybe someone could say Narada's getting a bit carried away with himself. So Brahma could complain like that, come on, what are you talking about? Of course, there's truth in that, according to Achintya Abhed Tattva. Lord Brahma is a guna avatar of the Lord. He is a type of form of the Lord, overseeing the guna of passion, plus, that's mainly what he is. He's a guna avatar. So, to some degree, in certain respects, he's like a form of the Lord, but then again, he's also not. This is oneness and difference at the same time. So now, Maharaj Parikshit speaks. We're going on from here. That was 53. So from now, verse 54 to 79, Lord Brahma is going to deny everything. Don't tell me. Just don't tell me. Yeah. Lord Brahma denies even being the recipient of even a trace of mercy. A trace means, you know, it's just barely perceivable. And he's saying, no, I have not got any mercy. All right, so Sri Parikshit said, thus, loudly praising Brahma, bowing before him with great devotion again and again, the sage Narada expansively sang Brahma's glories, as he had heard them from Indra and seen them with his own eyes. So, Indra, you know, for example, Indra had told Narada that Brahma is the very, directly the son of Lord Vishnu. And he was born, he's so special, he was born without the help of a mother. Wow. Yes. So Indra had told a number of the glories of Brahma. Narada had read Shastra before, and he knew others. And now he was seeing that that Brahma was even more glorious than what he had read about in Shastra or heard from Indra. So now, Lord Brahma is going to refute the praise of Narada Muni. Merely by hearing what Narada said, Brahma grew disturbed. He anxiously covered his 8 ears and said over and over again, I am just a servant. I am just a servant, I am just a servant, I am just a servant. In Sanskrit, dasosmi, dasosmi, dasosmi. Yeah. He didn't like it. He really didn't like it. So, okay, let's carry on. 56. With some effort, the four-headed Brahma checked the anger stirred within him by hearing what no one should hear and rebuked his son, Narada. So, you know, the point is, Lord Brahma, he's in charge of the mode of passion. So, being so close to that powerful mode, and himself being sometimes making some mistakes and things like that. These things have happened. Sometimes Brahma becomes briefly affected by anger. And here, in this case, because his son, Narada, had praised him, as if he's the independent supreme lord, he almost lost his temper. It was close. It was very close. But he controlled himself. And then he basically chastised Narada. So beginning from verse 57, Brahma says, I am not the Supreme Lord Krishna. On what authority and by what logic do you say this? Haven't I constantly taught you about this since you were a little boy? Well, you know, that's an interesting point because Narada is one of the sons, or children at least, children of Brahma, and Brahma, as a great devotee, he brought up his children very strongly in Krishna consciousness, and he instructed them again and again and again, including Narada. So what he's saying, that I explained all this to you before, that I'm not the Supreme. Krishna's the Supreme. Why are you saying it? I made it clear to you. You know it. I constantly taught you about this since you were a little boy. Really. So, the thing is that Narada Muni has made a claim. You could say he's made a claim that you are the Supreme Lord Krishna. That's a claim. And according to Vedic culture, one should not make any sort of claim unless it is substantiated by the Vedic scriptures or their supplementary literatures. Thus, Brahma correctly demands, he says, on what authority and by what logic do you say that I'm the Supreme Lord? Very good point. He's demanding the evidence for Narada's statements. And an example of Lord Brahma instructing Narada Muni in this way, we find in the second canto, at the end, I think it's the last chapter of the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, when Narada asks his father, Lord Brahma, aren't you the supreme? You know, if you are, why do I hear you glorifying someone else sometimes as if they're superior? Narada speaks like that. And then Lord Brahma explains that no, I am not the supreme. Krishna is. So, 58. His personal energy, Mahamaya, stands within his sight like a maidservant. It is she who deploys her material modes to create, maintain, and demolish this world. Because don't forget, Lord Indra said that Narada Muni said that Lord Brahma is responsible for the creation, the maintenance, and the destruction of this material world. But here, Lord Brahma is saying, no, 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 no. It's not me. It's Mahamaya. It's Mahamaya. She's the one. These potencies, Rajagun, Sattvagun, Tamagun, they're her potencies. She is their controller. 59. All of us are subject to her and bewildered. So you should not think me the recipient of even a trace of Krishna's mercy. So Brahma says, all of us. Who's all of us? It includes him. It includes his sons. It includes the descendants of his sons. Basically, in other words, it includes everyone born in material existence. And Brahma's saying to Narada that you're also one of us bewildered souls, Narada, and therefore you're speaking this nonsense that I am the supreme. It's just not correct. And this is now, what is this? Verses 60, 61, and 62. By the power of Krishna's Maya, I am always deluded by various conceits. I think myself the controller, grandfather, and spiritual master of the universe. Proud of my birth from Krishna's lotus navel, I think myself a great ascetic, because he did tapasya, he did austerity for a long time. So he thinks, yes, yes, I'm very good, very austere. So I think myself a great ascetic, his great worshipper. I am overwhelmed by the countless duties of universal management. Worrying about the imminent destruction of my planet, I live in terror of the all-devouring end of time. All I want for myself is liberation. So, he says that he's not actually really the controller or the grandfather. He's not really the spiritual master. He's not controlling, because the Supreme Lord ultimately is the controller. He's not the grandfather, because all living entities are eternal. And he's not the spiritual master, because the one with the knowledge is the Lord. And that's where, whatever knowledge he has, that's where he got it from. So, being in this position, you know, Narada, you're saying I'm great and I'm fortunate and I'm having a good time. But Brahma says, I am overwhelmed by the countless duties of managing the universe. And I'm always in anxiety. When is my death going to come? Because it is going to come. Yeah. So, yes, so he makes different points. Let's just have a look here. He thinks himself everyone's progenitor, protector, and regulator, as if he alone was the beginning, middle, and end of creation. He sees himself as the first teacher of the Vedas and other scriptures, but he gets that from the Lord. He may feel he's a big authority who appoints the demigods to their posts, but this is all done by Krishna's arrangement. He may be called self-born, but that's not exactly true because he was born from a lotus. He wasn't self-born. The scriptures, Vedas, Puranas, etc., They are present in the court of Lord Brahma. But that doesn't mean that the Lord is favoring him. It just means that now he's got no excuse. He cannot make an excuse for not following Shastra. Now he has to do it. He can't go off and do his own thing. And even some of these scriptures praise Brahma Loka, but Brahma is acutely aware, really clear, that his planet will soon be destroyed. So what is this? He may outlive Lord Indra and others even by a lot, but it doesn't mean he's not going to die. Yeah. And then he's always in anxiety because of these things. 63. For this purpose of liberation, I engage others in worshipping the Lord and also worship him myself. Since he is the Lord of the universe, is there any place where he does not reside? So, you know, it's twice now, in this verse and the previous verse, Lord Brahma has said that I am trying to get liberation. He doesn't say that I am trying to develop pure love for the Lord through cultivating pure devotional service. He's twice said, I just want liberation. I just want to get out because it's too much. And you say that he lives on my planet, but since he's the Lord of the universe, is there any place where he doesn't reside? You say he's here on my planet, but the fact is he's everywhere. So what's the big deal if he appears to be on the planet of Brahma? 64. He accepts sacrificial offerings from me only to promote the Vedic teachings and show special favor to the sacrifices themselves, which are dear to him because he's the He is their original creator. So, Lord Brahma makes all these offerings to the Mahapurusha and forms of the Lord. But this is not because he's saying, because the Lord is giving him some special favor or special mercy. It's just so the Vedic literatures will be promoted and distributed. Plus, the sacrifices are like persons, actually. Just like all the mantras are persons, so the sacrifices are also persons. And now the Lord is seeing all these sacrifices go on because to give special favor to the sacrifices. What is this? The sacrifices themselves. Right, yes. So in Brahma's opinion, the Lord reciprocates with him because the Lord has so much concern for the welfare of the universe. Not because he's particularly inspired by Brahma himself. So, actually, anyway, this is Brahma's humility. This is Brahma's humility. Verse 65. Just consider this, my dear professor of logic. He loves only devotion. He shows his mercy only to his devotees, never to non-devotees. Well, that's true. That's true. So, Narada might say, you're a devotee. You're a devotee. Therefore, he's merciful to you. But in the next verse, 66, Lord Brahma says, forget about me having any devotion for him. I would be happy if it was only, if the only thing was true, if the only thing that was true was that I have never offended him, then I'd be happy. I would be happy if it was true that I've never offended him. Don't talk about me having devotion. That's just got nothing to do with it. But if I had only at least avoided offenses, I'd be happy. I cannot expect him to tolerate my offenses as he does Lord Shiva's. A little hint there. Who's going to be the next person in line? It's going to be Lord Shiva. But actually, Lord Brahma continues, with benedictions obtained from me, the wicked Hiranyakashipu became the tormentor of all the worlds, dedicated to violence against Vaishnava. That's true. Lord Brahma gave him the benedictions that he wouldn't be killed in this way or that way or some other way. 68 and 69 together. After the Lord in his form as Nrisingadev destroyed Hiranyakashipu, I and my entourage stood fearful at a distance, trying to praise the Lord with skillful prayers, but he would not even honor us with a a sidelong glance. Yet when Prahlad was inaugurated as the king, the Lord at once became pacified. So, yes, after the Lord killed Hiranyakashipu, it's there in the seventh canto of the Bhagavatam, Lord Brahma and company couldn't approach him. They felt it was too dangerous because he was swinging his arms and his claws around. And they thought, well, if we try and go close, maybe he'll just hit us and that'll be that. But then when Prahlad came forward, the Lord was pacified and accepted Prahlad in a very affectionate way. 70. Then I slowly approached him, and he angrily ordered me, "You should not give such benedictions to demons, O Lotus One, O Lotus Born." Yes, that's there also. Don't give benedictions like that again. 71. Nonetheless, I kept on giving benedictions to wicked demons like Ravana, whose tongue can even mention the sins that Ravana has done. Wow. So now, starting with, it was actually starting from verse 67, this is 71. Lord Brahma is now elaborating on the offenses he has committed to the Lord. You know, he committed offense by giving Hiranyakashipu benedictions he should not have done. But then after he got chastised by the Lord, later he gave more benedictions to Ravana. Oh, Krishna, this is really bad. Verse 72. Remember the offenses committed against the Lord by Indra and other demigods who I appointed. In other words, Brahma feels he's responsible because I appointed these demigods. I appointed Lord Indra, and what did he do? He sent the great storm to attack Krishna and the Brijvasis. But Brahma's saying, I was ultimately responsible because I appointed him. The excessive pride of those demigods constantly perverts their discrimination. 73. Indra sent rain to retaliate for the Govardhan sacrifice. Sometimes he fought against the Lord and committed other offenses. The Lord of the Waters, Varuna, offended the Lord by kidnapping Nanda Maharaj, by failing to return the cows belonging to Bana, and so on. So he's saying, I'm responsible because I've appointed all these people and they all report to me. Yamaraj made mistakes like allowing the wrongful death of the son of the Lord's teacher. Wow. And Kuvera was responsible for the wicked misdeeds of Shankachuda and others like Nalakuvara Manigriva. And this is now 75. In the lower planetary systems live the Daityas, who always attack Lord Vishnu's devotees. And also living there are the serpent friends of Kaliya, who by nature are contaminated by anger. So, yeah, these are all different incidents in which different demigods or different people have offended the Lord, and Lord Brahma feels he's responsible for them. And recently, by my magic, I stole the calves and young friends the Lord was watching after in Vrindavan. I took them all away while the boys were having lunch. So, he feels this is the worst. Because it's not just someone who he appointed now who's offended the Lord. In this case, the Brahma Vimohana Leela, Brahma himself offended the Lord. Okay. Yeah, well, you all know that pastime. The stealing of the calves and the cowherd boys. 77. I then saw some most amazing wonders and became frightened. Offering prayers and bowing down to the Lord, I thought, I am so arrogant. But now in his pastime as a cowherd boy, he has tricked me. Yes. 78. Simply by the spontaneous glance of favor upon me from his lotus face, I became joyful. I realized how fortunate I was to have visited the land of Vraja, which is so dear to him. Yes, and then finally, verse 79. So there he was. He was in Vraja, and the Lord had basically sort of forgiven him and brought all the other Brahmas just to show our Brahma that he's not important. So now, afterwards, fearing I would commit more offenses if I stayed there too long, I then went away. What else need I tell you about my bad fortune? So now Lord Brahma is going to direct Narada to Lord Shiva, but we'll go into that tomorrow. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.